and therefore I apologized to him and assured him I would do what I could to avoid falling asleep for the future. And at the same time, in as few words as possible, I explained to him that I was ill and in a weak state from long suffering, and that I could not afford at that time to take an inside place. This man's manner changed upon hearing this explanation in an instant, and when I next woke for a minute from the noise and lights of Hounslow, for in spite of my wishes and efforts I had fallen asleep again within 2 minutes from the time I had spoken to him, I found that he had put his arm round me to protect me from falling off, and for the rest of my journey he behaved to me with the gentleness of a woman, so that at length I almost lay in his arms. And this was the more kind, as he could not have known that I was not going the whole way to Bath or Bristol. Unfortunately, indeed, I did go rather farther than I intended, for so genial and so refreshing was my sleep, that the next time after leaving Hounslow that I fully awoke was upon the sudden pulling up of the mail, possibly at a post office, and on inquiry I found that we had reached Maidenhead, 6 or 7 miles, I think, ahead of Salt Hill. Here I alighted, and for the half-minute that the mail stopped, I was entreated by my friendly companion, who, from the transient glimpse I had had of him in Piccadilly, seemed to me to be a gentleman's butler or person of that rank, to go to bed without delay. This I promised, though with no intention of doing so, and in fact I immediately set forward, or rather backward, on foot. It must then have been nearly midnight, but so slowly did I creep along that I heard a clock in a cottage strike 4 before I turned down the lane from Slough to Eton. The air and the sleep had both refreshed me, but I was weary nevertheless. I remember a thought, obvious enough, and which has been prettily expressed by a Roman poet, which gave me some consolation at that moment under my poverty. There had been some time before a murder committed on or near Hounslow Heath. I think I cannot be mistaken when I say that the name of the murdered person was Steele, and that he was the owner of a lavender plantation in that neighbourhood. Every step of my progress was bringing me nearer to the heath, and it naturally occurred to me that I and the accused murderer, if he were that night abroad, might at every instant be unconsciously approaching each other through the darkness. In which case, said I, supposing I, instead of being, as indeed I am, little better than an outcast, lord of my learning and no land beside, were